Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. The Boilermakers get a second road test on Tuesday at Wisconsin, the first of this two games away from Mackey Arena. Did not go well on Saturday as the Boilermaker offense struggled again on the road, Purdue falling to the Buckeyes. We'll break that down, plus preview Purdue's game at Wisconsin, along with a little bit of spring football on Gold and Black Radio. Kyle Charters here with Brian Neubert. Brian, let's get right to the basketball game. The Boilermakers will get another opportunity during this two-game road trip at Wisconsin on Tuesday. They're certainly going to have to play better than they did against Ohio State on Saturday. We've watched this team. You've written about them a lot, talked about them. I've talked about them a lot this season as well. And the frustrating thing from our perspective is that we're saying the same things. I'm sure it is the same for Matt Painter and for the Boilermakers as well. It seems it's the same story here over and over again. The offense struggles on the road.
Yeah, but the defense lapsed a number of times as well, and I think that was the bigger contributing factor to the bad start they got off to. Purdue's, as I've written a couple times on Saturday, you know, when we talk about, you know, Purdue has to get off to a good start, you know, on the road, yada, 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 it always comes up that that's about effort and energy, but attention to detail is up there too. When you look at what Purdue did at Indiana, I mean, they were just on top of everything. I mean, they were so clean and so kind of precise about everything they did, and that it was kind of not so much at Ohio State. You know, Purdue had some real defensive breakdowns that Ohio State had a little bit to do with, but probably more so on Purdue. And that's been unlike Purdue. I mean, that's not been its normal necessarily, but it was at Ohio State. And when you do that, and then you go 4 of 20 from 3-point range, and you shoot 35%, when really, you know, throughout the game, if you go back and itemize it, you know, for all the demonization the offense takes, often rightfully so, they got a lot of good looks. I mean, there were some bad decisions made at bad times. There were way too many turnovers, but, you know, Purdue got the ball in the paint a ton, got the ball out of the paint a ton for good looks from the perimeter, and just didn't make shots. And when you have the ball at the rim that much, you have to cash in better than Purdue did, and they just didn't. So it was kind of a joint responsibility type of deal to me between the offense and the defense.
Paraphrasing Matt Painter a little bit after the game, you know, he made comments about how you can, you know, push back on some of the habits that your team has a little bit and maybe fight those for a while, but they're always sort of still lingering there. And the hope was a week ago at this time that Purdue had found some ways to mask some of the issues that it was having. And it, you know, looked like there was reason to think that that was true. It had, you know, beaten Northwestern. It had pounded Iowa at home. It had played a complete game on the road at Indiana. But, man, here, these last couple of games, those demons for this Boilermaker team have sort of fought their way back to the surface again.
Yeah, I think Penn State is really good. I think Penn State also made every shot it took. I think that was maybe a little bit of warped reality in terms of what Purdue actually is. I think Ohio State was probably much more representative of what Purdue's been all season in certain situations, that being on the road. Regarding the shortcomings comment Painter made after the game, I think people are misinterpreting that a little bit. I think people are reading it like he's saying that if you're a bad rebounding team, you can't get better. He doesn't mean it that way. He means that if you're a bad rebounding team, you have to try that much harder to become an okay rebounding team. And I'm only using rebounding to put a face on this. That's not what he was specifically talking about.
Right.
You have to try extra hard to be a better rebounding team. And then you have to do that every single game, because if you don't, then you again are a bad rebounding team. I think he's just kind of mentioning that every team has some sort of Achilles heel that it has to be hyper aware of, that it has to overcome, and it has to do certain things to overcome. But in terms of Purdue's play here lately, what happened at Ohio State has been its whole season. If there's any shock and awe over this one loss to a in a game that Purdue, by every objective measure, was supposed to lose. I'm not really sure where the surprise is coming from. They just need to do a better job getting out in those first 5 to 10 minutes on the road and being off, getting off on a better foot. And sorry, I have a purring cat on my lap who's trying to eat tissues. I think the attention to detail is the biggest part of that. That was the biggest part at Ohio State, and why that's still an issue toward the end of February, I have no idea. But maybe that's one of those, you know, shortcomings that just don't go away that Painter was talking about is.
Yeah. I know this is very bad coach speak, but, because of what you've said just there, I feel like, you know, Tuesday's game against Wisconsin really – I don't know that the Badgers matter all that much. I feel like it's like solely about Purdue here, whether the Boilermakers can go there and compete and give themselves a chance to win. I don't think, you know, Wisconsin's not unbeatable. It's not even unbeatable in the Kohl Center this year. It will be unbeatable for Purdue if the Boilermakers don't do the things that you just mentioned to help themselves get off to a good start.
Right. I mean, I think Wisconsin's a better matchup for Purdue than some of the teams that they've gotten beaten by lately. I think it's a better matchup for its guards, and I think that's where a lot of Purdue's offensive difficulties kind of lie. But Penn State was down two scholarship guys a couple weeks ago, beat Michigan State. And I know Michigan State's on a downturn, but that was still Purdue, but that was still Wisconsin with like six guys beating beating Michigan State earlier in the year. Wisconsin is one of the few people who've been able to beat Penn State. And I mean, they're good. I'm not going to say they're, you know, good. I'm not going to say they're the best team in the Big Ten, but they're no worse than Purdue. Just because Purdue beat them by 18, 19, whatever it was in Mackey Arena, doesn't guarantee anything on the road. That's kind of the nature of the Big Ten this year, is that, you know, everybody's the same and the team that's playing at home typically has a pretty big advantage. Now, I think there are a couple teams that are better than the field, those being Maryland, not necessarily Michigan State right now, but then Penn State and then a healthy Illinois, I think, are a little bit better than everybody else. But everybody else after that is kind of the same, and I think you're going to see that exemplified by Purdue here these next couple weeks, because I think they'll beat Michigan, and I think they'll beat Rutgers at home, and I think obviously they'll have their hands full to beat Wisconsin and Iowa on the road, when Wisconsin and Iowa were two of the teams that Purdue absolutely destroyed in Mackey Arena. So this can turn around real quick from the first Wisconsin game on Purdue if it's not careful, but it just has to get off to a good start. It has to have all of those things in those first 10 minutes that, you know, it hasn't had, and then it has to just kind of hang in from there and find a way at the end. That's kind of life on the road in the conference this year.
You're feeling that Purdue needs to win one of these road games, whether it is Wisconsin on Tuesday night or Iowa at the end of the season. Not for whatever reason, I feel like the Hawkeyes are going to win that game. I know Purdue beat them by 36 in Mackey, but Iowa, a completely different team on its home court. And so maybe that makes that Wisconsin game Tuesday night even more important. But as you look at it, and I know it's hard to tell exactly what's going on in the rest of the country, which does matter. But the feeling is that Purdue needs to find a way to win one of these road games, right?
Yeah, I do think other people's results can matter, though, too. I do think, you know, if 11 Big Ten teams are really going to get the NCAA tournament, I still have to suspend disbelief a little bit to see that sort of thing happening. But I think Purdue is probably ahead of Indiana and Minnesota right now. It doesn't mean it can stay that way, but I think if Purdue wins its home games and loses out on the road, and things don't fall the right way for Minnesota and Indiana, I think that probably keeps Purdue in a little bit more comfortable situation. But you don't want to have to put yourself at risk that Indiana is going to beat somebody on the road. You don't want to put yourself at risk that Minnesota – you don't want to put your destiny in the hands of Minnesota and Indiana, if there's even a connection to be made there. I don't know. I'm only speculating. But I think winning a road game from here on out, whether it's Wisconsin or Iowa, and then winning your home games, I think would put you in a pretty decent spot going into the Big Ten tournament, which then, if you win a game, it probably seals it up, if not removes all doubt altogether, which I guess would be the same thing. But, you know, I don't think anybody should be taking all the home games for granted either. Michigan's playing pretty good basketball right now. So that's one I would be concerned about. Obviously, Indiana and Rutgers have had their issues on the road all season long. So I think those two games you probably don't worry about as much as that Michigan game. But Michigan didn't have Isaiah Livers in the first game. Whether they're going to have him this time or not, I don't know. He rolled his ankle yesterday against Indiana. But they might be a little bit of a different team than they were in the first meeting. And they can score for sure. They're playing a little bit better defense than they were earlier in the year. So I wouldn't take anything for granted either in Mackey Arena. But Purdue's got to win those home games and, you know, probably has to win one of the road games to remove as much doubt as possible. If it doesn't, I don't think that rules Purdue out by any means, though.
Yeah. Do you think Matt Painter does anything different with his starting lineup for the game on Tuesday? I'm not sure that it really matters, to be frank, because he has had multiple different groupings out there at the start of games, and none of them seem to have helped Purdue get off to a good start. But I don't know. You think he rolls something else different out in the game
against
Wisconsin?
I don't know what's left to do. I mean, the positions that have been waffled around during the Big Ten season have involved Evan Boudreau, Jahad Proctor, and those are the only two guys who played well at Ohio State. So I don't know if anybody who didn't start at Ohio State did anything to necessarily distinguish themselves as somebody who might be the solution to all your problems. I've wondered if, you know, I think Travion Williams is probably Purdue's best player, but I've kind of wondered if, because of the energy issue, because of the start issues, if he wouldn't flip Matt Harms into the starting five just for a little bit of a jolt of energy to start games. But he hasn't done that, and I'm not sure what you'd get out of that. I know you want to establish Williams offensively to start games, so I don't know how much sense it really makes to mess with that. But I think they probably start at Wisconsin, who they started at Ohio State, and kind of go from there.
Yeah, just play better. That would help.
Exactly.
All right, Brian. Thank you, sir.
All right. Yep.
More on the site as Purdue gets set for the game at Wisconsin at goldandblack.com. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring in Tom Dienhart. We'll get his impressions of basketball. We'll also primarily talk to him about a little bit of football with spring practice starting 1 week from today. Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Homefield makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, Industrial and Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chops, salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. The warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics. Kyle Charters with Tom Deanhart here on Gold and Black Radio. All right, Tom, Penn State and Maryland, the two teams atop the Big Ten standings. Both those teams have won 8 games. They the class of the Big Ten. That's a little bit surprising, right?
Yeah, you know, Maryland always is sort of flirting with being an elite team, winning the conference. So I guess not a huge shock, you know, led by Jalen Smith and company and Anthony Cowan to see those guys there. But, yeah, Penn State, my gosh. You have to be happy for Pat Chambers, at least I am. He's a good guy, a hard worker. And boy, to see the fruits of his labor finally pay off there with this, best season they've had in who knows how long. So, yeah, they are a surprise, and it's going to be a lot of fun to see what both those teams can do come the big dance in March.
Can Purdue win a road game, Tom? That's the question that we need answered. Can Purdue win on the road?
You know, we've seen it, a couple of times in the Big Ten at Northwestern. They had a rally from 11 consecutive points there. And then the evisceration of Indiana a couple of weeks ago in Bloomington. I don't know, Kyle. You know, tall task. Go to Madison this week. You still have one last roadie then in Iowa City against the Hawkeyes. I guess if push comes to shove, if you're going to back me against the wall, I guess I have my doubts at this point. I guess then that raises the question, right? Is a 10-10 overall record, if Purdue does achieve that in the Big Ten, is that enough to get in the big dance, even if you don't win a Big Ten tournament game? I'll tell you what, I think if they go 10-10 and they win one game in Indy, I think they're probably in.
Yeah, I think that'd probably be closer than what it wants to be. I think if you get to 11-9 and win a game, then you're clearly in. You're just setting yourself up to be close there, and maybe putting the ball in the hands of other upsets elsewhere, and maybe having to go over there and Dayton and having to play one of those play-in games. But even that, I guess you're still in. If you're in Dayton, you just have to play that extra game. We'll see. I mean, Purdue could, I think, go a long way toward getting itself in if it finds a way to play basketball well at Wisconsin and comes away with a victory against the Badgers.
I think
that's
it'd be
the
a
game,
lot of
in
fun
my opinion.
Dayton. Yeah, yeah. They're beatable over there. Wisconsin's playing better. Purdue's had some success up there. I know history really doesn't matter, but they shouldn't be intimidated by that environment. So, yeah, I mean, you have to like their chances. It's not out of the ballpark crazy to think they couldn't win at Wisconsin or at Iowa. But, again, Kyle, I'll ask you, I mean, Did you think this was a tournament team when the season began? I guess in my mind, if Purdue can find a way to get to the NCAA tournament, it will be a successful season no matter what they do once they're there. I think a lot of people saw this as sort of a year of transition, so to speak. Probably were a tournament team back in November, you thought, and nobody, I think, had really anticipated a deep run. So, again, they can find a way to crawl over the hill and get to the big dance, I think it'd be a heck of a season.
Yeah, I felt like it was a tournament team. I thought that it would be, on the good side maybe of the bubble, but a team that found its stride in February. I think the frustrating part of this Purdue team has been that you don't feel like it has discovered any answers or found any consistency as the season has gone on. And, a week ago we thought maybe – coming off Northwestern, Iowa, and Indiana that had found something, and then, all those things that had done wrong for all of the season are just suddenly back again. And maybe not so suddenly. Maybe we shouldn't have disregarded them as quickly as we did, but, just the offensive struggles again on the road, crop up. And so here we are this week talking about some of the same things. Let's talk a little bit of football. That'll be refreshing. The Boilermakers will get spring practice underway a week from today, February 24th. The Boilermakers will get out there on the field. It'll be nice to see a little bit of football again.
Yeah, exactly right. I think, fans, the staff, the players, I'm sure want to turn the page on 2019 4-8 season. A season, punctuated, underlined, headlined by just a lot of injuries. And it was an awfully young roster, too. A lot of youngsters, a lot of true freshmen saw action. So again, that could be a benefit. We'll see if they learn from that experience, that baptism by fire. There's a lot of talent to work with, but also, Kyle, you know, a lot of questions here as year four of the Jeff Brohm era begins. Offense, defense, I guess if you were to ask me the biggest questions on each side of the ball, I'd go offensive line on that side, and I would go linebackers on defense. And, of course, we're all going to be watching the defense overall with the new coordinator, Bob Diaco, pushing the buttons.
Yeah, we'll see what kind of scheme he wants to install in year one. We might be able to get an indication of that, at least in the spring. I think the other question is the quarterback, right? I mean, and it seems unlikely. There's almost no chance that Purdue settles on what it's going to do at quarterback in 2020 here in the spring, right?
Yeah, man, you're exactly right. No decisions will be made probably at any spots that are still being competed for on the entire team, let alone quarterback. So you're right. You know, we know Aiden O'Connell's healthy. He'll be, of course, a junior this year. The former walk-on who started the last three games, he's competing. And then, of course, Jack Plummer will be a sophomore. But, Kyle, how healthy is he going to be? How much is Purdue going to put him on the field coming off that ankle injury suffered against Nebraska? So, again, that's going to be an X factor as well. But like you said, no decisions will be made, and a lot of these guys are going to get reps and continue to build toward an off-season of competition too.
Many more previews on the site at goldandblack.com as we gear up for the start of spring practice. Hey, thanks, Tom.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's take another break. We'll be back to put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that in a moment on Golden Black Radio.
Your neighborhood bar, Sixth Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day. Sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there, too, with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
If you're looking to list or buy a home in Greater Lafayette, Tippecanoe County, or the surrounding counties, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Part of the Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, we can offer a specialized marketing plan with photos, video tours, and more to help you sell your house while getting you in your next dream home. Contact me at kyle@chartersteam.com.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa, not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics. And previews of Purdue and Wisconsin at goldenblack.com, also of spring football, which gets underway next Monday. We'll have one more podcast to drop on that Monday before Purdue practices. Be sure to look for that at the Apple Store or any way that you listen to your podcast. All right, that'll do it for our show for this week. Thanks to our sponsors, HomeFieldApparel.com, along with East End Grill, First Source Bank, Charters Team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, Follett's, the 6th Street Dive, and Purdue Federal Credit Union. Our next podcast next Monday. Be sure also to look for Gold and Black Radio Express. For Brian Newbert and Tom Deanhart, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Gold and Black Radio.